Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, February the 12th, the Church in the United States expresses gratitude for Pope Francis's support for their advocacy for migrants. After a brief lull in fighting in the DR Congo, rebels resume attacks, exacerbating the humanitarian crisis. But first, Pope Francis asks Christians to pray for peace, reiterating his belief that war is always a defeat. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Francis on Wednesday reiterated his constant appeal for peace and asked all men and women of goodwill to join in praying for peace every day. Speaking towards the end of the general audience, the Pope laid aside his prepared greeting to Italian pilgrims and said he thinks of all those countries that are at war. Sisters and brothers, he said, let us pray for peace. Let us do our part. War, he reminded them, is always a defeat.
Preghiamo per la pace. Facciamo del nostro tutto per la pace. Non dimenticatevi che la guerra è una sconfitta sempre.
He then mentioned tormented Ukraine, as he has done at almost every single general audience since the outbreak of war in the country. How much it suffers, the Pope stressed. And bringing his appeal to a close, Pope Francis highlighted some of the worst war zones around the globe: Palestine, Israel, Myanmar, North Kivu, South Sudan. And the Pope's prayers for the war-torn eastern regions of the Democratic Republic of Congo come as the country faces escalating violence. As Francesca Merlo reports, M23 rebels, backed by Rwanda, have resumed attacks after a two-day pause, exacerbating an already dire humanitarian crisis and leaving the millions of displaced people in fear of what is to come next.
2 days without fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo have been brutally interrupted by M23 rebels who resumed their attacks on government forces in the early hours of Tuesday. The M23 rebels, claiming to defend ethnic Tutsis, have advanced southward after capturing Goma, the capital of North Kivu, last month. That offensive left thousands dead, and despite calls for a ceasefire from 24 regional leaders, the rebels continue their operations. Authorities in Bukavu in southern Kivu have been on high alert, with schools and businesses shut and many residents fleeing. Meanwhile, reports indicate that M23 rebels entered a displacement camp west of Goma, ordering those living there to leave within 3 days. The group denies this claim, saying residents were returning voluntarily to secure homes in liberated areas. However, most displaced people have nowhere to go, uncertain if their homes still exist after being in camps for up to 2 years. The UN estimates that 6.7 million people have been displaced by violence in the DRC, with North and South Kivu most affected. Bruno Le Marquis, a senior UN official, warned that humanitarian efforts have been severely impacted by a US aid suspension. US aid previously funded 70% of relief operations. This 90-day pause has shut down essential services, including emergency healthcare and shelter. The situation for civilians in the DRC remains dire as the conflict continues to displace millions and exacerbate an already desperate humanitarian crisis. With basic services disrupted, people are left without access to food, clean water or medical care. The ongoing violence and the mass displacement of families have created a situation where entire communities are living in overcrowded camps with limited resources. Children are orphaned, and camps already stretched to breaking point are now inundated with new arrivals seeking refuge from the escalating conflict. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And as he did today, the Pope has repeatedly launched appeals for peace in the DRC's long-beleaguered North and South Kivu provinces. CAFOD country representative in DRC, Bernard Balibuno, told me the Holy Father's closeness and calls for prayers and solidarity have reached the suffering people.
Yes, these have been even amplified by the Bishops' Conference here in DRC. And the Bishops' Conference have really asked for peace to return. They've even gone so far to initiate a dialogue between the government and all the rebel group and the opposition groups. And this is underway. They are now consulting with people to see if this will be organized in the coming days.
Would you like to make an appeal?
The situation is very, very complicated here and very serious, where people's lives need to be saved. And what we will ask is really prayer for the eastern part of the DRC. This is very important because this part of the country have suffered for so many years, over 30 years of war, lost over 10 million people. I think it's very, very important that people remember this part of the country, pray for this part of the country, and any support that is needed to send it. This have been like a forgotten crisis, given that the Middle East and the Ukraine war have taken all the media time. And I think it's time to really bring this back to life so that people can think of this part of the country and remember that there are really people who are dying. The 10 million is not 10 million tree, but 10 million souls that we've lost. That will be my appeal and my request to those who can listen to us.
And that was CAFOD Country Representative in DRC, Bernard Balibuno. At a time in which millions of people worldwide are on the move, displaced by conflict, the climate crisis, injustice and poverty, populist leaders are increasingly closing their borders and approving policy that makes it harder for migrants and asylum seekers to find welcome and protection. In a letter to bishops in the United States, Pope Francis on Tuesday expressed his support for their efforts to protect the rights and dignity of migrants. In his texts, the Pope stated he has followed closely the major crisis that is taking place in the United States with the initiation of a program of mass deportations. In this regard, he commended the bishops' efforts, stressing that Christian love demands recognition of the dignity of all people, regardless of legal status. U.S. Cardinal Blaise Supich of Chicago has welcomed the Pope's letter and in an interview with Vatican Radio said he's deeply grateful for the Pope's encouragement and for his challenging them to all walk together.
I deeply appreciate the prophetic witness of Pope Francis. The Holy Father has clearly identified for the U.S. bishops and the Church the protection and advocacy for the dignity of migrants as the preeminent urgency in this moment. I'm grateful also for his encouragement of bishops who have criticized mass indiscriminate deportations and the criminalization of migrants, as well as his challenge for all the bishops to walk together and defend the human dignity of migrants in our country. I especially take seriously the demand to help Catholics develop a rightly formed conscience so as faithful citizens, each and every one of us, can make a critical judgment and express a disagreement with policies that are falsely built on the basis of force and distortions, rather than the truth about the equal dignity of every human being. As he rightly predicts, a failure in this regard begins badly and will end badly.
And that was U.S. Cardinal Blaise Supich of Chicago speaking there to Deborah Castellano-Luboff. Here in the Vatican, the Jubilee of Artists and the World of Culture is set to take place from Saturday, February the 15th through Tuesday the 18th. A press conference presenting the event took place on Wednesday in the Holy See Press Office, in which Cardinal José Tolentino de Mendonca, the prefect of the Vatican's Dicastery for Culture and Education, reflected on the events planned. These include the Pope's presiding over the Jubilee Mass in St. Peter's on Sunday, the artist's passage through the Basilica's Holy Door, and the first ever papal visit to Cinecittà, Rome's iconic film studios. Among the speakers on Wednesday was Barbara Iatta, the director of the Vatican Museums. She told Vatican Radio about the importance of the Jubilee.
No doubt that it's so important to have not only a jubilee for artists, but for all the people that are in the art world in a wide sense. So curators, directors, professors in art history, people like me, myself, and like many others that we have invited for the 15th of February in the Vatican Museums, that are as working daily on how we can transmit, how we can share this patrimony that is a patrimony of history and of art, but also is a patrimony of religious values. And we don't want to lose those religious values to the present generation, to the next generation. And our paper of statement will be on exactly this subject, how we can improve this sharing, improve with new media, but looking back to our tradition, not forgetting where we are coming from and where we are going now and in the future.
And the ability of art to transmit hope from your experience.
No doubt, and exactly that, transmitting hope, transmitting peace, and transmitting dialogue.
And that was Barbara Iata, director of the Vatican Museums, speaking there to Deborah Castellano-Luboff. Finally, in his continuing catechetical series on Jesus, our hope, Pope Francis on Wednesday turned to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, highlighting the humility of God who chose to be born in a particular time and place and in the most humble of circumstances. Christopher Wells tells us more.
In his catechesis, Pope Francis explained that the manner of Christ's birth was unheard of for a king. Jesus, he noted, was not born in a royal palace, but in the back of a house, in the place where the animals were kept. The first witnesses of the Messiah's birth were the shepherds, men of little culture, malodorous from constant contact with the animals, living on the margins of society. And yet, the Pope said, the shepherds themselves practice the very occupation by which God made himself known to his people. And God chooses them as the first recipients of the greatest proclamation of all time. A Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. Here, too, Pope Francis focused on the humble circumstances of Jesus' appearance. The shepherds find him lying in a manger, a feeding trough. The good news that their Savior, the Messiah, is to be found in a very humble place, reserved for animals, opens their hearts to wonder, praise, and joyful proclamation. As the Pope noted in his apostolic letter, Admirabile Signum, it is the humble and the poor who greet the event of the Incarnation. The Holy Father, then, invited the faithful to seek the grace of being capable of wonder and praise before God, as the shepherds were, and to be capable of cherishing what he has entrusted to us, talents, charisms, our vocation, and the people he places beside us. I'm Christopher Wells.
And on a final note, Pope Francis on Tuesday night joined the Italian Sanremo Song Festival with a recorded message in which he focused attention on the importance of using music to build peace in a world filled with wars that destroy children. He explained how music is a tool for peace and asked everyone to think of those children who are not able to join in. And that's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. You can join us tomorrow at this time for more. My thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.